tonight again we want to continue our study on the New Age, Satan's subtle lie. And I want to begin tonight again by looking at that portion of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, just to set a preface for it, because I trust that as we look at the aspect of the New Age, we'll understand something of the warning that is here. Chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," and so on. And so here's the day in which we're talking about, a day when we see that people are lovers of their self. And I think there could be no greater expression of loving yourself than to say that we're gods. Now, we might look at this and say, well, people can't be serious. But the unfortunate truth is that they really are serious as they propagate this doctrine. So we've been looking at the basic beliefs, and those basic beliefs are this, that all is one. There is no difference between material things and human things, or between human things and in God. And as Christians, we say there is a vast difference. I maintain that there is a great difference between things that are objects and things that are animal. There is a great difference between those that are animal and those that are human. The Bible records that things that are human, beings that are human, have a soul. And that makes them very different, doesn't it? But you see, the trouble is, how do you draw a soul, or what do you say, this is a soul and this isn't? And so to the New Ager, evidently that difference is not important, but to those that study and understand the Word of God, it is very different. And then when we come to God, you see, what we're trying to do today is we're trying to create God in our image. But we read that God created us in His image. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we look like God, because God is a spirit. But you see, we're so tied to the physical that we say that it must mean that we must look like God, but God doesn't look. He's a spirit. But how we are like God is that God breathed into man and he became a living soul. In other words, he made man eternal. That's how we're like God. And so I believe that what we're looking at is very important if we're to see that we're living in the last days. These will be the doctrines that are going on. And so we see that the first one is that all is one. Next is the idea that all is God. In other words, all around us there are things that are eternal. There are things that reflect God. And what they've done, they substituted a personal God for that which is a force or an energy. And then they conclude this. The logical conclusion of their doctrine is this, that we are all gods. That somehow we got to discover the God in us. And because of that, this is really distorting the whole thinking of every area that is touched by the New Age movement. Those are the basic beliefs. And yet while they say that all are God, then they go back and say, but Jesus Christ is not God. Now, I don't see how it adds up. Maybe to some it is very clear, but to me it is not. Every person, they say, is God, but then here comes Jesus Christ, the only one who could claim to be God, and they say he's not God. At least he's not the only God. And yet I really believe that he is the God. And so I really think that this is a lie of the devil. And we shouldn't be surprised that in the last days, Satan's great project will be to try to bring this thinking to the minds of people. So we've looked at the political form. The political form will be a revival of the old Roman Empire. And that's exactly what we see taking place in Europe today. We looked at the aspects of the basic beliefs, and it's that we would be gods. This is exactly what the Bible predicted would be true in the last days. We saw that the form would be a partnership between religion, not Christianity, but religion and politics, and that's exactly what we find today. And then we saw the aspect of it in terms of advertising. We saw that the plan of advertisers several years ago was to use this thinking to sell products. And again, I want to repeat, I'm not saying avoid those products, just be aware that those products are being sold to us using a New Age tactic. I'm not against those insurance companies. I'm not against the Army. I'm not against McDonald's. I'm just saying that they have decided to use that form of advertisement because evidently it sells. We look at it in religion. And we have seen that there would be people, there would be denominations that would have been called faithful and fundamental a few years ago, and they've left that. And their teaching is more on self-esteem than it is on the Word of God. We look some at education. I do want to say just another word or two as a result of some of the comments that were received after the message this morning. Among those things, they say, well, all right, then why are you against education? No, I'm not. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against education. But I really believe that education should be involved in teaching people facts and educating people in terms of knowledge, teaching them how to study. But it is interesting to me that in this city, when we've adopted a New Age philosophy to education, frankly, we've left teaching. Do you know that in this city, the first graders do not have spelling books this year or reading books? Now, that's a plan. That's a conscious plan. Isn't that frightening? Maybe I'm the only one that's alarmed. But if I were a parent of a first grade child, I would be insulted. You see, a couple years ago, they closed down a school in California because they taught creation. And they closed them down. To be accredited, you must teach sex education, and that means not just the abstention of sex, but it means safe sex. I doubt that we'll ever be accredited then. Next, to be accredited, you must teach evolution as true, and then if you want to, you may teach creation as true, but my dear friend, these two do not harmonize. I don't know how you can do it. Well, we can resolve the problem. We're going to major on education instead of on the New Age philosophy. But they actually closed down a school in California because they taught creation. Next, in our own city, they have challenged, and I believe are in the process of closing down a school, because this school, using the Abeka curriculum, put too much stress on their children because they were teaching them to read in kindergarten. Well, the only reason I can see is that it makes them look bad. No readers, not just in kindergarten, but no readers in the first grade and no spelling words, they choose their own spelling words. Now, this is ridiculous. Sooner or later, I hope that someone, not just a Christian, someone ought to say, you know what, sooner or later, you've got to educate people if you're in the business of education. Now, some will say, well, yeah, but what if you're teaching non-Christian children? Shouldn't you teach them self-esteem? No, I don't think you need to teach them self-esteem because the Bible is very clear. They're sinners, aren't they? So why would we esteem a sinner? Just because a person's saved or unsaved doesn't mean that we teach them self-worth. You see, to the non-Christian, there's nothing wrong with saying, do your best. There's nothing wrong with saying, work hard. Why does it have to be tied into what you're worth and to esteem? To the Christian, there is a higher motivation. To the Christian, you can say, listen, honor God. Everything you do, honor God. By your studies, honor God. That ought to be the highest motivation. And then you can still say, do your best. And you can still say, work hard. But there's no reason to say that we have to have self-worth and self-esteem as the primary motivating factor of education or of young people. I really believe that the tragedy is this. They have left the objective of education. And instead, we've submitted for it a New Age philosophy. We have removed God. We have removed Christ. We've removed the Bible. And yet, they're able to teach all religions. We're teaching values. We're not teaching facts. We're not teaching how to study. We're teaching values. We're teaching them to be global citizens, and this is exactly the plan of the New Age education program that was submitted years ago, and now we finally find ourselves involved in the whole thing. Again, I want to make a point or two on the self-esteem doctrine that we talked about. Because, again, people have come to me, several have come and said, yeah, but what about this verse and what about this verse? And as we've been able to discuss these verses, every time we've been able to say, you know, the Bible does not say to have self-esteem, but it's always Christ-esteem. But there's one verse that continually comes up, I think, in every discussion that I've had on self-esteem, and it's this. The Bible says that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Is that a command, then, to love ourself? And it's not. What it is, it's the Bible admitting that we will love ourselves. So it doesn't have to say, love yourself. Instead, it says, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. You want to know why? The Bible knows you'll love yourself. A poor self-esteem doesn't mean you don't love yourself. Matter of fact, it probably means you love yourself more than you should. Because you're always saying, boy, I wonder why people don't think I'm better. I mean, if they just knew the real me, they'd know how good I am. And so, when it says, love your neighbor as yourself, it is not saying that we need to teach them to love their self. It says that they are born with that. You don't have to teach a kid to be selfish, do you? They're born with that. You don't have to teach a kid to be a sinner. They're born with that. But what we do have to teach them is that they ought to love others as much as they're already loving themselves. And so, it is not a violation of the Word of God to talk about the aspect of Christ's esteem, especially for those that are believers. Now tonight, we want to cover some new subjects, and among those, I want to talk about how New Age is involved in business. You see, it is one thing for us to attack the schools, but here's another thing that I think is just as important, and that is, how is it aimed at business? Well, among those things that I want to share with you is an article that begins this way. A middle-aged businessman learns in a management seminar that to be more productive, he must get in touch with his innermost being, capitalized innermost being. In other words, they say, there's something in you that drives you. And there's something in you that turns you on. And what we want to do, we want to touch that thing. It says this, that this man in the seminar, here's an actual quote right out of the seminar package. It says this, kneel to your own self. Honor and worship your own being. God dwells in you as you. And then they quote Shirley MacLaine, we already know everything. The knowingness of our divinity is the highest intelligence. And this is the kind of thing that we're teaching in management seminars. Now, I'm not just criticizing school. I'm not just criticizing business. I'm simply saying that these things are violations of what the Bible teaches. And so you say, well, can you work at a place like this? Sure you can. But don't be afraid to say in the seminar, you know what? I find this a violation of my personal belief that comes from the Bible. What would be wrong with that? I think the Apostle Paul would object, don't you? I think Peter would say, just a minute, would you mind if I would just tell you what I personally believe? I'm sure the Lord would say, you know what? This is not at all my teachings as given to you in the Word of God. So why is it so hard? You see, all the time I'm given this excuse. The reason why we send our kids to a public school is because they're going to win the lost. Now, I think that's a very noble cause. But if that's true, then why don't I see hundreds, maybe thousands, of people every year won to Christ by all of these missionaries in the public schools? And by the same token, why don't I see thousands of people every year won by Christians in the business world? I'll tell you why. We're silent witnesses, aren't we? And some people go a whole year and some go a whole lifetime and they never give a clue to anyone that they're a believer. And so these will give us great opportunity to say, hey, this is against what I believe and this is against what I say. This article is out of Newsweek. And the article in Newsweek talks about corporate mind control. And it says that New Age gurus want to change employees' thinking. And it mentions Pacific Bell, Procter & Gamble, TRW, Ford Motor Company, Polaroid, IBM, all of these, they spent $4 billion on New Age training. That's incredible, isn't it? What they're trying to do is to make better employees out of people. Now, I don't blame them for doing that. But you see, there's nothing wrong with saying, listen, I'm going to work hard. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to do my best. But why do we have to do good in our job by believing that we're gods when the Bible says we're sinners? Now, I agree that when you come up to someone and say, listen, you're a god, they listen to you. And most of them say, you know, I was kind of thinking that. I mean, just the other day, I was thinking that really, you know, maybe, I mean, it's a little rough right now going, but probably somewhere in there, supposedly my family has some royal blood in it. I doubt it, but some in our family, they're tracing back our lineage across the ocean to Sweden, and somewhere there, I think we were the friend of someone who was royal or something like that. It's nothing to be taken serious, but those, some in our family, you know, they're writing down all the pedigree and so on like that. But the real truth is, I'm afraid to trace it. You want to know why? Because I know no matter how far we go back, sooner or later, you know what I'm going to find out? I'm in the line of people called sinners. So why trace it back? Man, I'm just going to deal with what the condition is, and it's I'm a sinner. And so to try to psych me up by saying, listen, you kneel and worship and honor the God in you, thinking that this is really me, that's not true. Now, don't get me wrong. I have every assurance from the Word of God that I'm on my way to heaven. That gives me a real purpose to live. I don't have to be psyched up by any New Age philosophy. I think we can live very well and much better than the world by simply admitting what the Bible has given to us. But I really believe that we're selling a bill of goods to our people in all kinds of management seminars. Here's Dale Carnegie. And it says this, for those, why some people want to achieve more than others. And they said this, they want to develop and use more of their natural talents to achieve higher goals in their lives. These highly refined courses can help you look within yourself to discover. And then it begins to go on their whole New Age thing. They can make you aware of things that you're not aware of capabilities you don't even know you have. They can help you visualize realistically new, exciting possibilities for your life. And once you begin to realize the extent of your own mental resources, your vast mental capabilities, then you have passed a milestone in your life. Your self-confidence increases. You develop a more positive self-image. Your horizons broaden. Your own world expands. Then you are on your way to enjoy greater satisfaction, greater success, and fulfillment in your life, and so on and so on. And the whole thing is aimed at building you up. But what about this kid that you built up his self-image, and he takes a math test, and he fails? What about his shattered self-image? See, why not be realistic and say, listen, you're you. You're not God, you're you. Work hard, study, and do the best you can. And if you don't pass, buddy, you're going to take it again next year. And watch the kid pass. There's no sense to tell him he's God when he's not. And why not tell an employee, hey, listen, we pay you for 8 hours a day, you work 8 hours a day. I think that ought to motivate him. And when they go without a job for a couple weeks, that's a real motivation, isn't it? You see, somehow or another, we turn the whole thing around and we're big on self-esteem. This was actually taken off of a bulletin board at Boeing. Now, I'm not against Boeing. Matter of fact, I prefer to fly on Boeing airplanes. But this one says power and empowerment, self-esteem. Inner energy equals self-empowerment. And this was hanging on their bulletin board. And the source is the Boeing TQC, Total Quality Commitment Program, taken out of this magazine. It says this, self-esteem is the true measurement. Without high self-esteem, success is only a mirage. I call it pride in oneself. Esteem is having pride in what we are. Self-esteem has to come from within. Reframing is good esteem building technique. Building relationships that will vitalize your self-esteem and not let you down. Look inside and empower yourself to be successful. No one can take away that kind of self-esteem. And the whole thing is, here's a seminar where you earn extra points if you go and get all psyched up on this. You see, to the Christian, the highest motivation is this. Listen, you work your job for the glory of God. Boy, if we're reminded, not of the fact that we're have some self-esteem, that we have some inner power that's... But instead, we remind ourselves, listen, I'm a child of God, and everything I do and say reflects on God. Shouldn't that motivate us to be the very best employee that we could be? Self-esteem task force, ready. This is quite an article. This is out of the New York Times News Service. And it says this, that after 3 years and $735,000 of research in California State Task Force on Self-Esteem, they're ready to announce its blueprint for solving crimes, drug abuse, and other society problems. But some members are skeptical. And the program goes on, and they're going to ask for millions more dollars to study self-esteem success in schools. But the task force that initiates and approves the money is a little skeptical because they say for $735,000, we really don't have much. Well, I don't care how much they spend. They're not going to get much, are they? You see, it's a big balloon, isn't it? It's a way to suck people in. But you know what the Bible says is that Satan would use a lie that would reach into every area of life. And it does. It's in education, it's in religion, it's in business, in the advertising. Listen, this is the first time anything has ever literally been worldwide and literally touched every area of our life. That's why I think the last religion is the new age. Because it's the first time anything has really been counter to Christianity in every area of our life. You see, Christianity covers every area of our life, doesn't it? And the new age hits every area of our life. Here's an ad out of the Wall Street Journal. And in the Wall Street Journal, it shows two very successful men. And it says this, let's talk about Europe 1992. Europe 1992 is more than economics. It's a different way of thinking, a different way of business without precedent. And then it begins to talk about, listen, not only is it taking tangible shape in Europe, but in the way we think about Europe in the future, it's the way we think about the world as a whole. Around the world, you'll find us ready to talk business, real business, for today and tomorrow. And the whole thing is a new age ad for a banking group that talks about a one world bank. I'll tell you, as I see these things, you can't help but wonder and be amazed at how God's word is fulfilled in such a marvelous way. Well, there are other examples that I have, but for the sake of time, I just want to show you this other one. You know, there's much that one can buy, both advertised in magazines and television, and the airport magazines are a great example of this. But here's one that says, building a winning self-image. A tape set. So you can take this at home, you can study it. The key to achieving everything you want from life. And you see, if we're not careful, we can be sold this whole bill of goods that really the key to our success is just believing in ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing a good job. I'm not against that. But I am against when they begin to say that we're gods. Because you see, that's a violation of what we really believe to be true to the Word of God. Next, I think the New Age has made quite an impact upon entertainment and upon music. Let me show you what I mean. Here is an ad taken out of a paper, out of a magazine. And this one talks about a natural high, astral sounds. And it advertises both a videotape and a cassette tape. And it says this, truly the first holistic health miracle of computer technology. It now gives sounds that are proven to have positive behavioral effects on the mind and body of those who listen. And this whole thing for $14.98 is a tape that it says this, that when you play this tape, the sounds are such that they will move you toward a meditative state of blissful serenity. Your body will sense it. Worries will disappear. Pain vanish. Harmful stress and anxieties are eliminated. and so on and so on. And just by playing this 60-minute cassette, you will reach a level of physical pleasure never experienced before. And you can buy the cassette or the videotape. And unfortunately, people do this. I mean, these things are being sold. This summer, when we were in Canada, I was with a man who was a disc jockey for a station called KCOC. And he said that right now, New Age music is bigger in the business community than rock and roll is all across the country. Now, someone says, well, what's wrong with New Age music? Well, here's the thing. It really is a music that sets a mood. And the mood really does open you up to suggestions that they might have. And to say that there are not suggestions that are going on is absolutely wrong. Recently, my wife and I had a conversation with a man that says, my job is installing electronics. As a matter of fact, he said, in public buildings, he said, I install speakers that give messages while you're in public buildings that you never hear audibly, but you really hear them. Now, you can like it if you want to, and you can dislike it if you want to, but it doesn't change the fact. There are other indicators that show that these things are here. For example, here is one that I find very interesting. This one is out of the New York Times. It's not a Christian publication. But this is out of the arts and entertainment section. And it says this, Christian pop is gaining fans. And the headline, the subheadline is this, New Age, gospel, and punk become evangelistic styles. And it begins to talk how New Age, gospel, and punk are the evangelistic styles of the future. And the article is on angelic musicians they are not. And they're skin tight, black and yellow clothes. No one would mistake their blaring guitars and insistent percussion for choir music. But the heavenly metal rock group Striper is part of a growing contingency of Christians preaching salvation in popular music. And then they go on to talk about how that New Age, gospel, and punk are evangelistic styles. And among the ones that they mention, they talk about none other than Amy Grant, who admits that she is New Age. Now, have you ever wondered why she's had such a hard time maintaining some kind of consistency? Well, that's why. Because it's easy for them to talk about being born again. It's easy for them to talk about being a Christian, but it's a New Age Christian. Now, I can't judge Amy Grant completely. I've never talked to her. But I'll tell you what, as I begin to read some of the things in some of the articles that she talks about, how that Christian music was certainly a way to get to the top, and how that it was a wonderful way for her to be introduced to the world. And when I see more of her and less of Christ, I really wonder if she really knows who Christ is. And so, at least the New York Times lists her among those that are involved in New Age. But speaking of New Age Christian music, here's one that's interesting. New Age Rage. And on here it lists four singers and says, for your approval, four singers and songwriters stirred by spiritual instincts. They boldly sing where few have played before. Prepare for several stops in the Twilight Zone. And among these people that claim to be Christians, here's one that says, she says, I really can't say that I'm particularly religious, but she says, I get my batteries charged every time I visit a church. And so that's her music. And what she's really saying is, listen, Christians are the biggest suckers. And so they have a sound that would appeal to the world as well as to Christians, and the words are so indefinite that you can't tell if they're talking about a boyfriend or the Lord. And we're silly enough to buy it. You see, the danger of the New Age music is simply this. It opens us up to all kinds of suggestions. I have an ad that actually talks about love tapes that you can buy. And the love tapes, literally, the love tapes, they say they have a subliminal message on them. And so as you're playing this music, here is a subliminal message, and it says it will help your love life. Well, I don't know if it'll do that, but it will sure fatten somebody's pocket. Here's another one. Firm grows on the music of New Age. And this whole thing talks about how that New Age music is making a name for itself. And then down here, the second part is Christianity, too, is finding a place in the workplace. And they show the combination of the two. Now, it's so easy for us to say, well, yeah, that's probably on the East Coast, that's probably on the West Coast, but here it is. A new age rises in Kansas. And among the things that it talks about is that the heart of the new age, he said, is the unconscious level that opens itself up, and it talks about music, and it talks about all of the people in Wichita that are really hooked on new age music, and that are a proponent of it for relaxation and for improvement, and among those are Gene Rumpf and some of the others who are well known in this community, but they are new age. Now, what do you expect? These people are unsaved, but when Christians are sucked in by it, and again, it's not that the music is awful music. It's simply that it opens us up for any suggestion that would be made as the music is playing. And so, yes, there is New Age music, and yes, it is growing. And it's simply another area where the New Age has attacked, and we need to be careful as we look at the aspects of it. Now, what about another aspect that I think is even more critical than that? And I would have to say that would have to do with some of the entertainment that we go and see. And so I at least want to mention some of these things. For example, one of the things that really concerns me is I see what I call an obsession of young children with the Saturday morning cartoons. Now, I never make friends when I talk about this, but I feel that I must. Because the Saturday morning cartoons, first of all, are filled with New Age thinking. They always talk about the power that resides in you, or there's certain power pellets or power magic that are in you. Next, a number of the cartoons are half man and half animal creations, bringing about this unusual kind of combination. Some of them, even the Masters of the Universe, have you noticed that they're really half man, half God figures? And I really believe that the closest examination will find that to be a great violation of what the Bible has to say about the distinct nature of man and the distinct nature of God. Wonder Woman, Superwoman, and all the magic that she does with her little child called Tammuz, who are no doubt a direct reference to Samarius and to the wife of Nimrod in Genesis 10, is a direct violation of the Word of God when we set her up as an example of that which is powerful. What about the Smurfs? Matter of fact, someone said, I bet you can even find something wrong with the Smurfs. As a matter of fact, I can. Because you see, the Smurfs say that they use white magic, not black magic. But the trouble is, the Smurfs also say, Papa Smurf says he gets his power from Beelzebub. Now, Beelzebub is the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's the way to entertain children, is to say that this power comes from the devil. What's wrong with us simply saying, listen, I'm offended by that. I don't think it honors God. And so, therefore, we're going to do something else on Saturday morning other than watch cartoons that seem to have their own flavor of godlessness. And so, again, I think it's important for us to be willing to take a stand and say, no, we're not going to be involved in these things. Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, E.T. These are just a few of the movies that have made it big, and yet behind every one of them are the Eastern religion thinking. And we've swallowed them. In Star Wars, there is no doubt that what they have in mind is the aspect of the Buddhist. Matter of fact, these people admit that they are Buddhist. And as we were considering bringing them, because of the special effects, to visit a college campus, the write-up that they had, they literally say this, just as Greek mythology explains away the Old Testament, Star Wars explains away the New. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that the New Testament has been displaced by Star Wars. And as they continue to bring out other forms of Star Wars, including Return of the Jedi, we find out the real message behind their movie. And the real message behind the movie is we find out that really Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker are related. Luke Skywalker is the son of Darth Vader. Now, very clearly, Darth Vader is to represent the devil. And evidently, Luke Skywalker is supposed to represent Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, All I can do is tell you that some years ago when we were living in a neighborhood, a little girl came over and said to me, "Isn't Luke Jesus?" I said, "No. You see, Luke was a doctor and he wrote the Gospel of Luke," and he wrote, "My kid said, Dad, you're out of it. She's talking about Luke Skywalker." I said, "Luke Skywalker's Jesus?" She said, "Yeah, that's what my teacher told me at school, that Luke was Jesus." I mean, little kids figure this out. Now, I've never seen the movie. I don't plan to. Your kids tell me enough about it, I don't even have to go to these movies. But in the movie, there is no doubt that the force that be, that's supposed to be like the Holy Spirit, and the little robots, these are the stupid Christians that just walk around and do exactly what the force says. And Darth Vader is supposed to be the devil, and Luke Skywalker is supposed to be Jesus. And so they asked the writers, all right, who wins? They said the conflict goes beyond good and evil. Who's to say who wins? Writer friend, the Bible clearly says who wins. The beast will be defeated by the Lamb of God. There's no doubt. But you see, their Star Wars is different than the conclusion that the Bible has. Next, as you look at this, it really says this, that because Luke is the son of Darth Vader, it says that Jesus Christ is of the devil. Now that was the charge that the religious leaders made of Jesus. They said that he was illegitimate, and they said that his father really was the devil. My dear friend, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that Satan is none other than a fallen angel. And I believe the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is God. He's God the Son. And he was involved in the creation of all the world. And he was not born of the devil. And to call that family entertainment, I'll have to tell you that I'm offended by that. And I think that as Christians we ought to go on record, listen, that's not entertainment. E.T. Now they call that family entertainment. But in family entertainment, there is a variety of swear words. There's oral sex that's implied in the movie. He got in the mood to write it. Steven Spielberg, a Jew who doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, yet there are 33 parallels between the movie E.T. and Jesus Christ. And Ted Koppel, interviewing him, says it's essentially the Christ story. He said, "I thought you would recognize it. Too bad others don't." And he laughs. I mean, here we are looking at E.T. thinking that this is a grand message. It has an extraterrestrial that comes from another planet to the Earth. It dies, whatever E.T. an it or a he. It dies, and when it resurrects, it has atoning power. In this city, a man preached this message, the gospel according to E.T. Now, I think that's blasphemy. I think that's blasphemy. But it goes on and on and on. And in the movie it says this, E.T. is love. What does the Bible say? God is love. It says E.T. is our hope for the future. What does the Bible say? It says that we have one hope, even the blessed appearing of Jesus Christ. So what they're trying to do is to get us to think of E.T. as being the substitute for Christ. And they even mock the disciples who get drunk on the day of Pentecost by having them get drunk with beer in a refrigerator. I have not seen the movie. Your kids tell me about it. Your kids point out all the peril. They understand it. It's not an innocent family movie. Steven Spielberg knows exactly what he was doing. The Ninja Turtles. Forgive me if I mispronounce it. I've been corrected time and time again. I'm just too old, I guess, to get it right. Why would I be against them? Well, there's a number of reasons why. Number one, television decency. They have banned them. Next, what they say in their ads, they say, "Hey, dude, this is real." In other words, what they are is real, and life itself is a cartoon. I don't believe that. Next, I can't approve of their music. I can't approve of their language. But I think the real objection comes as you begin to see in the movie. I advised a young man not to go and see it, but he went. And so he wrote me a letter. And in the letter, this young man who has been involved in some of the occult religions said, when I saw it, he said, I recognized it for what it was. It really is the Eastern religions. And so, he said, the main way to expose it, he said, when they get their final lesson from the ninja master, the rat, who's the ninja master, they're sitting around a fireside with a fire crackling, and they channel up the ninja master, and he gives them their final lesson as they channel him up. And as they do so, the fire gets brighter and brighter, and it glows, and a great explosion. And it's all about channeling and the powers of channeling and how that really your master can come to you as you channel. Now, this young man who's been involved in the occult religion said, I recognize it. You see, this is not entertainment. But I really believe what they're doing is they're trying step by step by step by step to take our children. And they say, they honestly admit that if we can get this generation, we can conquer the home. Next. They believe that the values of the home are really established by the mother. Dad's going to follow whatever the mother decides to do. And so the next lie of Satan will be, first of all, to capture the thinking of her children, to educate them, to entertain them, to program them with New Age thinking, to break down everything that we've tried to put into them concerning the Word of God and the standards of God's Word. And next, I think the attack will be against the woman. Because whatever the woman believes, normally the husband goes along with that in the home. By the way, who did Satan attack? Yeah, it was the woman. And so I think the battle lines have been drawn. And again, I look at entertainment. I look at entertainers. John Denver. I've got to admit, I've enjoyed some of his singing. But he's New Age, and he admits it. Shirley MacLaine. Willie Nelson. Oprah Winfrey, she says that she's as much a God as Jesus Christ. She says that she's her own Savior. And she entertains millions of people every day on her talk program. She said, I discovered simply what Jesus discovered, that I'm a God. And she literally believes that she's a God. She had a man by the name of Mr. Butterworth on her program. She says, your book changed my life. And the book was How to Discover That You're a God. She said, it changed my life. She said, I understand that I'm my own Savior. On the Bill Cosby show, his wife believes that she's a God. Not on the program, but in real life, she really believes that she is a God. Now, I'm not trying to speak against the Cosby show necessarily. I'm just saying that whether we like it or not, the New Age has made its way into entertainment. And we must be careful. Because otherwise, what we'll find that our values and our points of belief biblically are being eroded by that. Next, do you know that the New Age is actually into health and then into birth? It's amazing. Remember I told you that it was really into every area of life. The Lamaze birthing technique, they actually tell you to chant, or in other words, to say, I am, I am. And they say that you're to visualize a light passing through you, and this light represents a source of life in you as the birth comes. To those that are going through the birthing class, they recommend New Age music for meditation. They recommend New Age relaxation techniques and books to read as you prepare for birth. In other words, every baby born in this city is born under the sign of the New Age, frankly. I think that's frightening. I'm praying that as Christian parents having families, I'm praying that you say, no, I may do these birthing techniques and breathing exercise, but I'm not going to do it New Age. One of the best-selling books now is a New Age book that has names for babies, 3,000 names for babies, written by Susan Browers. And in the front of the book it says this, these names are the names of gods and goddesses to bring luck and salvation to your children as they're born and given these names. My friend, that is a lie. Holistic medicine. In this city, there is an outfit, the Garvey Organization, that says that there are cures for cancer by meditation. They promise you this. They have pyramid power. They have pyramid-shaped buildings where decisions are made and health experiments are run. There's a number of tapes that are in this regard. Here are some. For example, this one is out of Time Magazine. Can the mind help cure diseases? And the whole thing is on relaxation as a therapy. And it talks about cures that might be possible. Here's another one. It's called a wellness spa. And you go and you can have all kinds of wellness tests run on you. This is the one I was mentioning on the love tapes. They're now available in regular or subliminal messages that you can either hear the words audibly or the message will be given subliminally. This one is reflexology. It's the New Age cure-all. This is out of the Health Digest. And the whole thing says, look, here's a New Age cure, and it shows you some of the things that you can do to ensure fitness. Here's one. This is the magazine called Special Report on Health. It explores the mysterious link between mind, body, and soul. Now, they put out four of these as special issues during the year. And this one is kind of interesting because one of the articles says this, have you exercised your mind today? And in Miami, Florida, it says you strap on an energizer, you step into a star chamber, you explore your creative potential at your neighborhood brain spa. Fitness is just a few alpha waves away. And they literally have people that go in there on their lunch hour. Instead of going to the workout center, they go in and they exercise their minds for health and so on. And the next page says, Is this just a trend, or will we one day become a society in which every mall has a family brain workout center? And they talk about the possibilities that exist as a result of this. Here's another article on health. It says this, I think I am well, therefore I am. No need to tell you much of the details on this, but it says a positive thought a day may keep the common cold away. They talk about all the great benefits. Now, sure, I'm not saying that one cannot make themselves ill as they continually are involved with discouragement and so on like that. But to talk about curing cancer by having positive thoughts, folks, I think it's an insult to the medical profession. And I'm praying that someday some doctor might be brave enough to say, you know what, that's a lot of baloney, folks. But we probably will not want to get a lawsuit, and so we probably will never get involved with that. Here's another one that I think is equally important, and that is the idea that many diets, one of the best ways for dieting, one of the best ways to stop smoking is to buy tapes. And these tapes have subliminal messages on them. And the point is that by listening to this soothing music, it puts you into a meditation state, or it opens your mind to suggestion. Then the suggestions are to stop smoking or to stop eating. Again, I'm frightened by the possibilities of the messages that they can give as we open our mind to these things. Even in our own midst, there have been people that have gone to a doctor after 2 years of being on an antibiotic for ear infection. And here's what the doctor said. The trouble with this child is you're not thinking positively enough. Now, that's the diagnosis that this doctor gave after 2 years of antibiotics. Listen, sooner or later, we've got to say, you know what, I'm a Christian. And I'm not into this positive thinking business. I'd change doctors, among other things. The chiropractic field. I'm not here to put down chiropractors, because, frankly, I think when you get some aches and pains, sometimes they can do you a lot of good. But in talking to some that are believers, you know what they say? Just about every single seminar they have is loaded, it's saturated with New Age techniques and New Age gimmicks that they're now beginning to use in the treatment of people. What about the environment? Do you know that the environment issue has also been plagued by the New Age? For example, Hands Across America. Any event that helps to bring or to unite the world, believer and unbeliever, I really think that at this point we've got to be a little suspicious of it. But that whole thing was one of the grandest hours for the New Age movement, Earth Day. And on Earth Day, literally, our kids in public schools were told to worship the earth. I read a prayer written by a young boy in Kansas City, and in this prayer, he worships Mother Earth instead of God the Father. And the statements that he wrote to Mother Earth Might have been the Bible would say that those should only be reserved for God the Father. But you see, the Bible said in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, that there would come a day in the last days when men would actually worship the creation instead of the Creator. And we're there. Now, I'm all for us having a good environment. I think we ought to live wisely. I'm all for us doing things that don't pollute. But for us to begin to worship the earth and to talk about Mother Nature, why do they refer to it as Mother Nature? I'll tell you why. Because they're afraid of God the Father. That's the biblical perspective. The Save the Animal campaign. How did it all begin? Well, frankly, it began and is propagated by people that believe in reincarnation. And the reason why they want to save the animals has to do with helping out their friends that may have come back as animals. Now, I'm all for saving the animals. But when that's the bottom line of it, folks, I've got to tell you, I've got to take a step back from that. Because I don't believe in reincarnation. And so let's be honest. Let's say we want to save the animals because we think we ought to take care of the earth that God has given to us. But to say and to make it a religious experience, my dear friend, it goes way beyond what God ever intended. Well, the New Age. Do you know that it not only affects entertainment and health and business and education, but it also affects sports? In the last Olympics, I will never forget the one-hour special they did. And by the way, every hour of Olympic watching last time began by the symbol of the yin-yang, which is one of the symbols of the New Age. And the screen was filled with a yin-yang, and it opened the yin-yang up to present the Olympics. Every hour of viewing, over 74 hours, I think, every hour began with a yin-yang. The opening ceremony had the yin-yang. And here is Brian Gumbel, not even realizing what he's reading, but he said it's a symbol of good and bad. It's a symbol of war and peace. And it shows these two factions coming against each other. And then it says they curl into a harmless unity, a peaceful coexistence. And that was the message of them. And in that Olympics, they said, listen, this year's champions will be different. They will be trained in their mind as well as in their body. And they did a one-hour special how that the difference of this year's champions and other years is that these champions are trained by mind control. Well, there's no doubt that the New Age is affecting sports. It's the idea that somehow or another it's not enough to work hard, it's not enough to condition your body, it's not enough to concentrate on the sport, but instead it's the idea that we must get ourselves into a trance, that we must go into an altered state, that we must call on an energy source that's within us. Frankly, my reservation on the martial arts is the idea that we have to call on an energy force in us. And you read the Bible, and the Bible speaks of the Spirit of God and the believer, but it does not speak of that energy force. And frankly, I'm concerned. I think that can go out of control. And so when I see volleyball teams that call in a New Age trainer to train them for concentration, and they begin to talk about how the game is won in your mind before you ever serve one ball, folks, that's New Age. Now, you may want your kid to be an Olympic champion, but I've got to tell you, I think there's something, a higher calling than being an Olympic champion, that is to keep your mind pure for the things of God. Sports has become a god in America, hasn't it? We worship it. We build huge temples to it that hold 80, 90,000 people. They have the best attendance at the sports cathedrals than we do at church cathedrals on Sunday, don't they? You ever hear of someone missing a Green Bay Packer football game because it's too cold? But I know of Christians that won't come to services because it's not air conditioned. It's amazing, isn't it? Ever hear of a football fan that says, hey, I don't want to go there and sit for 4 hours on a hard bench? But I know of Christians that won't come because it's not comfortable that they come to sit for a meeting that may last an hour and 30 or 40 minutes. You see, we've left that which is normal, haven't we? I don't think there's anything wrong with sports. I think it's a healthy thing for young people. I think it's a healthy thing for us to be involved in physical activity. And I think competitive sports are good and fine. But when we begin to say that we must put everything we've got into this, when it becomes our God, when we begin to set our mind on this thing, I really believe it's gone beyond what God intends. And so the idea that we must train ourselves mentally, I really think it's a new age aspect of sports training. And I really believe it goes beyond what is healthy and safe spiritually for young people to do. They did an experiment in basketball. And they had young people train in three different ways. Some didn't train at all. They let them shoot free throws, and they came back after a period of time and they had them shoot again to see how much they would improve, and there was almost no improvement. And then they had another group, and all they told them to do was to go and to shoot a certain number of free throws every day, and at the end of several weeks they tested them, and remarkable improvement was made by practice. And then they had another group. And on the first day, they shot a number of free throws. And then they said, listen, you will not practice again. But mentally, in your mind, every day, you'll shoot free throws. And then they came back at the end of the test period and they shot free throws. And do you know that they were almost as good as those that practiced? So this gave great license to train young people mentally. But the trouble is, you see, as we begin to direct our mind in this way, as we begin to open up our body to these forces and energies, my dear friend, I think we open it up to some of the powers of Satan that are around. You see, we're involved in a spiritual battle. And for us to neglect the fact that there is a battle, and it's a spiritual battle that's going on, I think it's for us to neglect what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God. We're to gird up our mind. We're to protect ourselves with a shield. We're to have the Word of God. We're to have the sword ready. But what I find is that we're training our children. We're opening up to every kind of suggestion. And frankly, I think it's dangerous. Science fiction and technology, here are some other areas. For example, here's one, and this is a magazine. And in this magazine, the science fiction magazine, this particular one is called The Special Blasphemy Issue. And if you were to look at the eyeballs of this teenager, you would find in each of them there's a skull. He looks at death. He stares at death. And in this Special Blasphemy Issue, the first article is Bible Stories for Adults. And in this Bible story for adults, it talks about a computer that falls, and then you find out that really the computer is none other than God. And this poor robot who was taking orders from the computer God, he now finds that he's attacked by a snake, and he's huddled around, he's hugging the law, and the whole thing is a play on how that God really is fallible. He can foul up just as the computer can foul up. And then you continue on, And the sixth thing is that it makes fun of Christians who would be so silly as to wonder, all right, should we really put our energies and should we really put ourselves into the things of God? And so it shows a little demon, and this demon has a handful of gold money, and on the computer screen is the verse, "He who shall gain his life shall lose it." And the whole story is about a silly one who trades the possibility of wealth and power for the promise in the sky. Sick. Then it goes on, the doohoop never dies, a Christmas fable. And they make fun of Santa Claus and Jesus. Both of them are fairy tales, is the bottom line. And it goes on and on. And then it says a little special thing on why would we call this the special blasphemy issue. And by the way, this issue sold out. So they reprinted it and it sold out. And the reason it's called the blasphemy issue is because someone might think that this is blasphemy. Well, I do. But it just shows you how far we have dropped. Here's another one. Here's a magazine that's called Harper's Magazine. I'm not trying to sell Harper Magazine, by the way. But in this one, the special feature article is entitled this, "He's Back." packaging Christ's second coming. And in the article on His Back, they talk about what would it be like if Christ were to come back to earth. And so what they've done, they've written a 2-week program for Christ when He comes back, including appearances on Saturday Night Live, the Johnny Carson Show, and other things. They've designed His wardrobe. They've designed a commercial. They've designed a best-selling book. And the whole thing simply makes fun. And what they tell Him to do is they say, now listen, when you come back, what we don't want you to do is to be so judgmental with your words. I mean, come back and modify it a little bit. Matter of fact, the miracles, don't do big miracles at the first. Allow for growth and flexibility. Most important, small miracles will serve to lower expectations. We don't want people to expect too much from you. And I mean, it's everything about it is degrading. And the whole thing is okay, we're going to have you land at this airport, and when you get off, say these words. And it's, I'll tell you what, it's sick. But they actually design a wardrobe, one that will have lights, and when he holds out his arms, it will have a cross lighted on his. I look at this and I say, how in the world can they put that in there? Sure, it's done in jest. But the conclusion of it is, you know what? If he were to come back, we're not so sure that we'd like him the second time any more than we did the first time. And that's the conclusion of a so-called family magazine. My dear friend, I think we're living in the last days. When there is no limit as to what we can think. Because, you see, we've crowned ourselves God. And we really don't believe that there's deity and Jesus Christ at all. Now, what about the preparation? I said that really New Age is also involved in technology. And again, it may be that by the time I'm done, you're going to say, well, you're probably against technology and science. No, I'm not. I want you to know I'm not against science. I'm not against technology. Matter of fact, I enjoy them. But I am against men who use them for corrupt purposes. That's what I'm against. Because some of the things that are going on, I think, are incredible. Some of these are outlined in the book called Mega Forces, written by Tex Mars. Others will be in a number of technical magazines. I simply want to point out some of these things to you, but among those things is this statement. Psychic abilities can enable men to possess powers that are godlike. And among the things that they say is this, I quote, man's brain is evolving toward a superhuman intelligent capacity, even God status. Now folks, that's a dangerous statement. Next. We suggest that we're on the verge of a second Genesis, namely man's creation of genetically engineered laboratory life and robots with artificial intelligence, which makes man a co-creator with God. They say we have every right to call ourselves God because we are actually creating other beings. And so it's the whole field of robotics. Now again, I'm not condemning science and technology. I'm just simply stating that the trouble with man is that we're beginning to eliminate God in our thinking, and so he distorts science. There's nothing wrong with medicine, but we can distort it. There's nothing wrong with business, but it can be distorted. There's nothing wrong with education, but it can be distorted. There's nothing wrong with sports, but it can be distorted. So here's a distorting of technology. In Japan, there are industrial robots that toil 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to build new robots to replace themselves. Next. These hard-working, lifelike robots with silicon chip brains, they are saying for the first time, they are actually beginning to think. Now, I worked at IBM. I worked in the research division. And if someone were to tell me this, I would have to say, you know what, I really think that you're going beyond what is reasonable to say. Because always before, we simply said, you know, really all a computer can do is it can work faster than you. So it may make mistakes, but it makes them so fast that soon we're able to catch them. But here's what they're saying. They're saying that we are now able to have silicon chip actually make independent judgments. These are not my words. They are now being able to take action without assistance from humans. And now they are predicting that by the year 2000, there will be biological chips made from fleshy substances that can be used to construct the brain of robots. That's not my opinion. That's the opinions of those that are working with robotics. In the book called Intimate Machines, Close Encounters with Computers and Robots, Neil Froude says this: soon we'll have robots as companions, even sex partners, by the year 2000. He says that's how lifelike robots can be. He says we can have artificial intelligence. He says the new advances are on the horizon. He says using material, he says it's similar to human flesh, we can manufacture organic brains. He says that it will soon be possible for us to implant into robots fleshy substances that will allow them to think. And by the same token, he says, we think that we'll be able to implant into human brains silicon chips that will allow you to be pre-programmed. Let's say you don't do math very well. Don't worry, we have a chip that does math real well. Let's say you don't remember history so well. Well, that's okay. We have that program too. And by the same token, we could also pre-program all of your values, couldn't we? You see where it's leading. Omni Magazine, physicist Robert Freitas presented these reports to NASA. I quote, NASA space robots to be used in space flights will reproduce themselves using only sunlight and the Earth material at hand. They will mimic God's creation by creating life from the dust of the earth. We are gods. That's their statement. Now again, I'm not against technology. I'm not against the advances that we're making in science. But what I am against is I am against man saying that they are gods simply because they continue to make advances. Hans Moravec of Pittsburgh's Carnegie Mellon University, one of the world's leading robotics schools and researchers, says this, that robots will be human equivalent in 20 years. That's his prediction. Biological material, he says, can be implanted into computers. Silicone chips can be implanted into humans. We can program humans. We can control thoughts. It is a step toward Godhead. It is a step toward our quest for immortality. Now listen to this one. This is a quote right out of a computer magazine. Children will become the offspring of the whole human race instead of a particular couple. Do you remember what the New Age Education Guide said? We must not allow children to think that they're the offspring of two people, but instead they're an offspring of the human race. We're there. I don't know what it does to you, but as I look at these things, I really believe that we're looking at the end of the time when God is going to deal in grace with mankind. Rosenfield, the author of the second Genesis, entitled The Coming Conflict of Life, says this, when man can write out detailed genetic messages of his own, his powers become truly godlike. Bad genes, not human sin, and not Satan, are the enemies. You see what he's saying? It's not sin. It's not human nature. But it's bad genetics that is the enemy of the human race. And we can patch that. We can patch that as we breed these new robotic humans. I tell you, I think it's frightening. And again, let me show you the extent to which this has gone. In this special edition of Mind, Body, and Soul, and the link between them, one of the articles, no less, is an article on this very subject, where in the article he begins to talk about the machines that would be men. And this whole article is on Hans Moravec. He predicts that computers one day will replace human minds. The result could be immortality if we want it. And as this man begins to talk, he says the only thing missing is a soul. But he says right now we can simulate a soul and a robot. No, I think he's bragging, frankly. But this shows you the thinking that is going on. And among the things that I see that is taking place, it's the advent of the computer that allows us to talk about and to control the daily goings-on of a worldwide population. I remember what the Bible said. The Bible said that when you see a revived Roman Empire, when you see a religion that brings together every diverse population and every diverse belief, when you see men that are lovers of themselves, then there will be an Antichrist that will be able to come and rule, and he will rule as a one-world system. Frankly, I don't think the computer is evil, but I think the computer could be used by one who is evil to actually control a worldwide population. Here is Boeing News. New badges give employees new look. And among the things it talks about is the fact that in these new badges, there's a little computer chip, and it emits a signal. And by using that, they're able to have much better security. They're able to have people in and out of the gates at a much quicker pace. I think it sounds wonderful. Here's another article. This particular article talks about a man who's developed a computer chip. At the time of this article, he said it's about the size of a grain of rice. The trouble is, he said it cost about $10 each. But he said if we were to begin to manufacture literally millions of these, he says then the cost would drop substantially. And in his article, he says, I probably get 3 major phone calls a day from all over the world, people with new ideas for this technology. And among the things that they are suggesting is that you can actually take this little computer chip and you can bury it under the skin of a person. You see, already, in certain cities, the Humane Society, when you go in for your rabies shot or your dog's license, they shoot a little computer chip into the dog's hind end, or the cat. And now, by just waving a wand over it, you know who the animal belongs to. In Canada, they brand every cow with a chip, with a computer chip. Railroad companies are keeping track of railroad cars with computer chips, and they can type in the identification, and they can find the location of the car anywhere. And now, here are companies like Rockwell International, and they are actually suggesting that they implant a chip on their employees so they know who goes in and out of certain doors and into certain files. I think it's a great idea. But you see, the Bible says that in the last days there will be a mark, and somehow or another, the Antichrist will be able to control a worldwide population so that they cannot buy or sell, have food, without a mark, without a brand. I tell you, for the first time ever, it is possible. The Bible says that in the middle of the tribulation, every eye will see an event that will take place in the streets of Jerusalem as 2 witnesses are killed and resurrect and ascend to heaven. How could that be possible without the technology of satellite television? You see, even technology says this, that Christ is coming soon. In another article in a medical magazine, it talks about a Jewish doctor and a Jewish engineer that have now suggested implanting this chip at the birth of a child on a child. And now it would make missing children a thing of the past. The pilot program is so successful, they're now suggesting that before we allow people to collect Social Security, we also implant a little device in them, so we could find missing people when they get old and they lose track of where they are and when they wander off. Technology, is it bad? No, not at all. But you see, when the Antichrist comes, he will even use technology in business and education and sports. All of these things will go for one cause, and that is to promote him to his highest place, because he wants to be God. I really believe that you and I are people that will see Christ come. Frankly, I don't believe that we're going to be very many more hours or very many more days on old planet Earth before the trumpet sounds and believers are taken to be with Christ. But I tell you what, in the remaining days, there's a battle to be fought. And whether we like to admit it or not, we're being bombarded on every side, at our workplace, at our schools, at our entertainment, on every side, with the new age. If the Lord tarries, I believe that there will be people in this audience that will lose their job because of the new age. There will be some that cannot go along with the thinking in a business seminar, and they will be the first to be let go. There will be some, and they might be the employee of a new age boss, and when that new age boss finds that they are a Christian, that they believe that God is a sovereign being, and it's different than humans, I believe that it will cost them their job. There are some, and they will suffer. They will lose friends. Their families may part. But my dear friend, I really believe it's time that we as Christians took a stand. For I believe that if God is to bless us, and if God is to use us in these last hours, then we must be willing to pay the price of standing for Him. And I really think that it will be worth it. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I don't think is worth it. But I believe that if we are willing to take a stand, if we're willing to say, listen, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is really worth preserving our bodies and our minds for, and the worship of Him is a reverence to Him that cannot be shared with anyone else, then my dear friend, I really believe that God will honor and bless us in the coming day. Do you remember the confrontation between Christ and the devil when the Lord was on the earth? After being in the wilderness for 40 days, Satan comes and tempts the Lord, doesn't he? He tempts Him in the physical with food. And the Lord answers with Scripture and says no. He tempts the Lord with power. He tempts the Lord with worship. And what you find is that in every way, what Satan wanted simply Christ to obey His wish. He wants the Lord to worship Him. Just to give Him any worship would be enough to satisfy the devil. And so the devil's plan is still the same. From Genesis 3 to today, the plan of Satan has not changed. He's a subtle being. He's more subtle than any other creature. And his message is this: to challenge the sovereignty and the deity of God. And his appeal is to use human flesh and a proud mind to try to accomplish it. My dear friend, the masterwork of Satan is deception. And I pray that God will give us the courage. I pray that we'll douse ourselves in the Word of God. That's the best way to combat it. You know what it is? It's chapter and verse, isn't it? It's chapter and verse. And I believe that as we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, as we're filled with the Spirit of God, as we're filled with the Word of God, I really believe that the New Age cannot make an impact on our home and on our children. That's the only solution. But I believe that if we hold back on the Word of God, sooner or later, in some little crack of our life, the New Age will seep in. Because the Bible says that all the world, rich and poor, small and great, famous and infamous, they will all worship Him. And so here is a person, and they may be a great person, but in one small area, the lie of the New Age and Satan will seep into them. And it will be enough to contaminate them, and they will fall and worship Him. They'll take the mark of the beast. How can we stand? There's only one way. You see, every believer, when they accept Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in them. And as we are filled with the Spirit, it doesn't leave room for anything else, does it? And as we're saturated in the Word of God, my dear friend, it doesn't leave room for anything else. The best combat against the strides of the New Age, I think, rest in the written Word of God. To memorize it, to read it, to live it.
How are we doing? We can be appalled at the inroads that the New Age is making. But we will be helpless to stop it unless we take the spiritual armor that God offers to us, and that spiritual armor rests in the Word of God. So as we close, the New Age, Satan's subtle lie, aren't you glad that the New Age is no match for the Word of God? I delight in that. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's no match for you. But if we try to battle it on our own, my dear friend, we're no match for Him. But He's no match for the Spirit of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. My dear friend, Satan fears the Word of God. Satan was defeated by the Lord on that confrontation in the wilderness by the words of Christ and what Christ did. Three times He quoted the Bible. And that was enough to defeat Satan in a head-on-head combat. My dear friend, we have the Word of God, don't we? We have the written Word of God. And it is enough to defeat Satan. May we surround ourselves by the Word of God. May we encourage one another in the Word of God. May we reverence and worship the one who's worthy of that. It's not ourselves. We're sinners. But by the grace of God, we're saved. And we can be on our way to heaven. But God deserves our worship, and He deserves our reverence, and He deserves our praise. As we look at the encroachment of the New Age in every area of our life, may it simply remind us that we're living in the last days. But I tell you, the last days for the world means a great time of tribulation. But the last days for the believer, you know what it means? It means that the Lord's coming is soon. May the Lord encourage each of our hearts to be looking for that blessed hope, even the appearing of Jesus Christ, shall we pray. O God, our Father, we come into Thy presence tonight, and now we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if there was ever a victory that we want to see, it's that victory that's described in Revelation 17. When these 10 great kings give their power for 1 hour to the beast, and all the world is under His control, every slice of bread sold must be sold with His mark. Every drink of water must be sold with His mark. Everyone who will live must have His mark. And this powerful beast will then be face to face again with a challenger. And the Bible says it's the Lamb. But it's the Lamb who is slain and resurrected. It's the Lamb of God. It's the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God says that in that day when the battle takes place, that the Lamb will overcome the beast. And oh, Father, how glad we are to know that the battle is Yours. And Father, if we didn't know Christ, if we were outside of Christ tonight, we would worry. We would wonder, how in the world can we ever stop the very thing that we're seeing rushing in on us? And then, oh, Father, we read the Word of God and we find that You have secured a victory. And so, our Father, tonight we pray that we might use the dark background of all that is around us in terms of the New Age, in terms of the occult. And, Father, we pray that we might use it to rescue those lost souls as we would direct them to Christ. Father, we pray for our families. I pray especially for young people who the attraction of the world may appeal to. Father, I pray that You will give them the same courage and the same God mindset that those young Hebrews had that said no to Babylon. Father, I pray that You might use them for Your honor and for Your glory. Father, help them not to waste themselves upon the success of the world that is too short-lived. But Father, may they go for eternity and for the things of God. Father, we pray that as a local church, You might use us to win souls in these last days, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.